On this Sunday of the Holy Family, God reminds us how we become saints. That starts in our families and especially in those little moments of family life. I think oftentimes in our walk with Christ, we want to look for the big, huge moments, the times of responding boldly to the claim of Christ. We think maybe about how the martyrs were bold in proclaiming Christ even in the face of persecution and certain death. Thinking maybe people that boldly said yes to their vocation like Mary did with her fiat. But what we don't see is a lot of very little moments, right? Those little moments that are hallmarks of family life. Not the big, huge things that everyone else will remember or from the outside might look amazing, but usually in the daily routines, in the daily small things and acts of love that form our hearts and our character to turn us into saints. So I actually want to share with you a children's book. This is not a normal thing that Father Devin does, but for this particular Sunday, I like to do it because I think this book in particular shows us that beauty of the daily life, the small moments that happened within the Holy Family, and the ways that those moments can be, even for us, moments of great joy and holiness. So this book is called Will You Bless Me? It was that time of the evening when dusk covers day in a blanket of softness and sleepy children are tucked into bed. Anna's dad pulled the covers up to her chin. But the doll's feather boa tickled Anna's nose. Achoo! She sneezed Anna, sending Leopold the leopard and Simon skittering to the floor. Bless you, said Anna's dad as he rescued the leopard and dusted off the slightly disgruntled bear. Why do you always say bless you? Asked Anna. Her father thought for a moment. A blessing, he said, is a gift from God that the people who love you can give, like the gifts we give on birthdays and Christmas, only better. Seeing Anna's puzzled expression, her dad had an idea. Remember the book Grandma gave you about Jesus? His eyes searched the shelf till they landed on the book. Snuggled up beside Anna, he began to read. A long time ago in a place called Nazareth, a little boy played with a wooden chest that his father had made. There were treasures in that chest, treasures given to his family not long after his birth. Mom, the boy called out, could you tell me about the wise men again? His fingers toyed with something shiny in the chest. Mary set aside her work and pulled her son Jesus into her lap. It was after you were born, she said. Three wise men came to see us from far away. They were beautifully dressed and carrying gifts just for you. One brought gold, another frankincense, and the third one, myrrh. God told them that a very special child had been born. It was the star, wasn't it, Mom? Jesus interrupted. That's how they found us. That's right, Mary told him. God put an amazing star in the sky, and the wise men followed it. Joseph put down his tools and leaned closer to his wife and son. He loved these moments when Mary talked to Jesus about his birth, telling her son all the thoughts and plans God had just for him. Joseph could feel the presence of God, Jesus' true father, reaching down to bless his only son through Mary's simple words. Now tell me about the angel, Jesus begged, the one who told the shepherds about me. Mary smiled. Well, the shepherds were watching their sheep late at night when the whole sky suddenly lit up with God's glory. At first, the shepherds were frightened, but the angel said to them, shepherds, don't be afraid. The news I bring you is wonderful. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you, and here's proof of what I'm saying is true. You'll find this baby snuggled in warm clothes and lying in a manger. Mary touched her son's eager face. The shepherds came, she said, and told us all that the angel had said about you. God has such a special plan for your life, Jesus. The little boy grew quiet now. Joseph could tell he was thinking. Tell me again about the first angel, Mom, Jesus pleaded. the one who told you I was coming. That's my favorite part. Mary drew a deep breath, remembering the wonder of the moment. As a young girl, I was pledged to marry your father. I was so excited, thinking about it day and night. And then, she paused, the angel appeared. It was Gabriel, wasn't it? The boy chimed in. Yes, it was. And he said you didn't need to be afraid. That's right. Then he told you about me and said you should name me Jesus. Mary looked deeply into the eyes of her son. The angel told me that you will be great, Jesus. You will be called Son of the Most High. As Jesus took in the words, he rested his hand against his mother and heard the soft beat of her heart. Somehow Jesus sensed that there were many treasures kept there for him to know someday. Joseph treasured moments like these when he and Mary had the joy of unfolding the heart of the Father to God's own precious Son. Just then the boy's head popped up. "So what happened to the gold?" he asked. Winking at Mary, Joseph said, "I guess God knew we'd need it for our vacation in Egypt." But by now, Jesus had hopped off Mary's lap to run outside and play. The moment was over, but the blessing was eternal. I said, I think that book shows the beautiful small moments that happen in any family. Right, we might not imagine that being true for the Holy Family, since they seem perfect and so much different than us. But there were so many small moments where Mary and Joseph were able to share that love of the Father with Jesus. So many little moments that formed him to become the Savior of the world. Similarly, those moments challenged themselves to become saints. Right? Mary got the perk of the Immaculate Conception, but Joseph still had to learn to embrace that Father's heart and become a saint himself. And it was those little moments rather than big, grandiose gestures that formed their hearts into the heart of the Father. I think that's what our readings remind us of today. That the same was true for Abraham and Sarah, even after they received the promise that they would be the father and mother of many nations. Because it took several years for them to actually bear a child. I think we hear Abraham getting a little bit frustrated with God and his plan in today's first reading. But even in his impatience, he trusted that God would be good on his word, would bring forth an heir so that he could be a father of many nations. Similarly, this is, in the gospel, one of the first kind of public moments that Jesus comes out with Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph have had all these encounters in the stable with the shepherds and with the wise men, but they haven't really presented him or seen anyone else in public. I wonder if they felt like they were getting stared at, or if they felt special, or if they just thought that they were another family coming to present their firstborn son. And yet Simeon proclaims this great mission that he will be on, that he's destined for the fall and rise of many, and that the sword will not only be for Jesus, but will also pierce Mary's heart. That it's in those quiet moments that we can become a holy family, that we can imitate the love of God. So what is the goal of our families to become holy? I think it's to live out the virtues of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Those are the three evangelical counsels, right? It's the promises that any professed monk or religious nun take. You might be thinking, hey, Father, we didn't become a nun for a reason, right? I got married because I didn't want to have to take those promises. But the point of the evangelical councils is they're evangelical because they naturally proclaim the gospel of God to the rest of the world. Right? That by living out a spirit of poverty, not necessarily physical poverty, but living in a spirit of poverty, we show the world that the things of this earth aren't what we hold on to. That instead we seek the things that are eternal, the things of heaven. By living out the spirit of chaste love, we show that our sacrifice and self-gift is worth it even if we don't receive anything in return. It's worth it to pour out that oblation and that love, especially for our family and those around us. And finally, by living out that virtue of obedience, we show that it is worth it to say yes to another. Not to get our will all the time, not that we have to win every argument and every desire, but instead by being obedient first to our parents and to the rules of our house, but ultimately obedient to the will of God, we show that there is a greater goal. And it's not just about what I want or what you want, about you winning and me losing, but instead about both of us working closer to our goal, that goal of a holy life and union with God. Right, that's what Mary and Joseph do in the gospel. Right, they present a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons because that was the offering of a poor family. Right, that they didn't have a lot of material possessions, but even in receiving the Savior of the world, they point toward a greater reality. It's not about holding to the things of earth, but clinging to the things of heaven. And especially in the promise and the words of Simeon, they show how chastity and obedience are things we should desire. Maybe things we're not good at yet, but things we want to grow in, even in those small, quiet moments of family life. Right? That Mary, knowing that a sword will pierce her, is still generous in her love for others. Not trying to hold on to things, not trying to hold on to the child Jesus, but knowing that she's willing to share him with all. And that even in suffering, she can be obedient to the will of the Father. Say yes to what he wants when her son is betrayed and crucified on the cross. Not because that's a good thing, but because she trusts in the Heavenly Father. Trusts that something better is coming for her and for the whole world. So in this celebration of the Holy Family, let us thank God for the gift of Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus. Maybe thinking about those small ways, those small moments, that they became the Holy Family. But also let us pray that our families will do the same. That we will be schools of love and prayer. Places that we slowly learn to become that example of Christ. Slowly become persons that proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Slowly become that beacon of hope. Always showing to the world the goodness of the virtues of poverty, chastity, and obedience.